Alrighty. Welcome everybody to our November ordinary meeting of council. I declare the meeting open at 6 p.m. And on behalf of council, I would like to acknowledge that this meeting is being held on the traditional lands of the Noongar people and pay respects to elders past, present and emerging. I wish to acknowledge and respect local people's continuing culture and contribution they make to country and its life. In accordance with Regulation 14I of the Local Government Administration Regulations, this meeting is being recorded and recordings will be available on the Shire's website. By being present at this meeting, members of the public consent to the possibility that their voice will be recorded. And everybody here is present, as noted, and this is the Commons Seal along with delegated authority. Information is there for your noting. Response to previous public questions, again, there for noting, and I believe that's been provided in writing to Mr. Teed as well. Public question time. Do we have any questions from our public at this point in time?
I've got one.
Go ahead, please send out. Yeah, just if you could please state your name and.
Yeah, Guy Teed.
And you're from.
Brooklyn.
Lovely.
Yeah, I just want to follow up with the questions that Gary emailed me back with the answers. The time frame on a building approval, is it normally around about 2 years, depending on the application?
It is 2 years.
Yeah.
But there's also always the opportunity to extend that or renew it.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And with the compliance issues, once that 2 years is up and supposedly the building or whatever is finished, does the Shire keep in mind to go and check to make sure it's all compliant or?
No, so the way that under the new Building Act, the way that that works now is that often you are able to get your building certified privately.
Yep.
And you're also able to get your certificate of construction compliance completed privately. So most often we don't go to inspect. We receive somebody's certificate of construction compliance.
And what about during the building program to make sure everything's getting done properly?
No, so that's now
up to the builder.
That's now up to the builder and to the certifier, the private certifier, to make sure that that's what he's certifying to at the completion of the building. And there's actually a debate going on in building circles and local government circles about whether that situation works or is effective. Or it's, you know, best practice compliance. But that's the way it is at the moment. So there's actually a legal argument at the moment that if the local government's building surveyor who receives a certified building application, the only thing that the argument is that the only thing the building surveyor can do is to approve the application, even if he believes it to be incorrect it's been privately certified by someone, so therefore it is certified.
And the other question, I think I did mention it to you, and I know I've come in here a few times probably over the last 15 years, but I think it'd be beneficial for the Shire and all the truckies going to CBH to make a bit of a truck park out the top end of town between the railway line and the CBH turnoff.
Mm-hmm.
Just coming in just then, there was a truck pulled over half on the railway line. The bloke got out to have a smoke, but his rear trailer was pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
And three or four times this week, there's a grey Western Star over Stumpy's car park. The guy's been sleeping there because there's nowhere else for him to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then when trucks break down, I was repairing one again today on the side of the road and again last week. But I think there's plenty of scope for a... it is a trucking town in a sense after all, but I think there's plenty of scope for a decent truck base somewhere.
Okay. I understand your point of view. It's a matter of finding an appropriate place and having the appropriate room for it.
Yep.
So the one that we've talked about is on Yeo Road, just past the by the tank on Yeo Road,
very near to the railway line. Yeah.
But at the moment, somebody's got their crossover.
Their
access to and from their property through the, what is the truck bay.
Yeah, and the fire truck access.
Yep. Yeah. So if there was to be some truck parked there blocking a driveway or blocking access to the tank, we might have some issues around that.
But I was more thinking on the other side of the road, on the old rubbish tip side of the road, there's probably 400 acres there.
Yeah.
It's plenty of room, yeah. Anyway, that was all. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other questions? No. Applications for leave of absence. I believe we have... Peter, you wanted to...
So, Councillor Harden's email this afternoon requesting a leave of absence from the December ordinary meeting. Got that wrong? So Council's required to approve that.
Alrighty. We'll need a mover.
Need a mover and a second.
We have a mover and a please for Councillor McCabe and a seconder. Councillor DeLonga. All those in favour?
The outcome was
approved. Yes. Sorry. No. Yes. Certificates of appreciation for our independent members of Audit and Risk Committee. For Mr. Eric Peck and Mr. Neil Walker. We've got some. we'd like to.
Just thinking in front of the shower book.
We'd like to show pass on our appreciation for Neil Walker and Eric Peck. Your contribution over the past 12 months and longer before the. Involvement with the Audit and Risk Committee.
Thank you.
Whereabouts?
Probably in front of the Shire Book.
I'd just like to say congratulate the people that are on being elected to council recently, and I trust we'll have a very cohesive board, so progress can be made steadily. I also feel that there's a section now of the community that is not very well represented by their own fault. The apathy is their focus is on more on things that are more important to them, but it gives an imbalance that the councillors here now have to take up, even though they might feel it is part of their interest. That's really how I interpret it now, because it's quite different than it's historically been a large amount. It's just something that I'd sort of like everyone to have in the back of their mind. There's some things out in the regional areas now where the surface of the roads have been very good, but the roads are going to be a huge cost because there's no way the water can get off the roads now. The water tables are very deep, but the water goes down the water tables and is damaging the water tables. But the verges of the roads built up so high there's just nowhere for the water to escape. So it's probably going to cost a lot of money to do that, and it'll have to be done in segments. But it's something that, you know, needs to be. And also, the audit and the risk committee, which you're taking on yourselves, you've got to remember that there's more. That there's a lot of a risk that's not in just money. The risk is a lot of things in the community. Okay, thanks very much for the opportunity of saying a few words.
Thank you very much.
Well, I just
want
to say that I've been dismissed twice in my life, both times for the Shire of Brooklyn. but once when I lost an election, and now back. But I'm not unhappy with that. But the thing I like, the relevance of the Audit and Risk Committee, because I was on the Audit and Risk Committee as a councillor and then again as an independent member. But you only see the agenda and you see what the auditor said and you see what the Shire said in response. And so you say, oh, okay, but there's no way that as an independent member you can actually verify that the problem has been rectified or whether the auditor was right or whatever. So I just wonder how the Audit and Risk Committee can actually work. That's all.
Thank you.
We're open to suggestions.
that question or that's that is actually quite it is very topical today, resulting from news that will probably come out over the next couple of days about fraud and corruption in local government. But that, it remains all of the people sitting at the council tables have a role in making sure that our council and our shire, the administration and the elected members, understand and cover off on the risks that are real and, you know, that are real and very present. We did have a Audit and Risk Committee meeting this week where those councillors who attended it wasn't an Audit and Risk Committee meeting, it was our Audit Exit meeting. So our audit report is for the financial year 24-25 is very near, and there was the opportunity to meet with the auditors and discuss what will likely be in our audit report. But those councillors who were present got to hear the auditor talk about the performance of our finance team and our finance staff, to the point where you raised the issue about, Neil, about fixing problems. Our auditors come back with the idea that there's very few problems to fix at the moment. Not that we don't, not that we need to be aware of the possibilities and keep up that prevention work, but the councillors were here to hear that. So that communication needs to stay open. And there's also a role for the councillors just to be, the terminology is nose in and hands out, just to be aware of the relationships and of the goings on. And it is really hard to hide if our council administration is working well, then people become aware of small warning signs, and that's when you've got to act on them, not to take drastic action, but to investigate and ask questions, you know, and just be aware. So
I wasn't suggesting there was any problem.
No. So
I was just wondering
and
what that committee could do if there was a problem.
If there's a problem, that's a job for council to fix. it's becoming aware, to be alert, to be aware, but not worried about it, I suppose. You know, work at it would be my response.
I'll sleep easy.
Thank you, Gary. Confirmation of minutes from previous meetings. Could I please have a mover for the minutes of the ordinary meeting on the 16th of October? Councillor Cotting. Seconded. Councillor Delano. All those in favour? 7-0. Thank you, Judy. And again, the confirmation, mover in is for the minutes of the special meeting, 21st of October. The minutes were true, correct. Councillor McCabe, and seconded. Councillor Cotton. All those in favour? Carried. Ms. Jenny. Disclosure, no announcements by the presiding member at this point. And disclosure of interest, we haven't received.
Don't have anything to.
Alrighty. 12.11.25.01, lease of the 23 Whittington Street, Brookton, to Baptist Care. We have an officer's recommendation. Do I have a mover? Councillor Delano. And seconded, Councillor McCabe. Was there any comment in relation to this?
I'm just concerned about ensuring that we have accommodation for independent aged care. So we're taking away another one of their, what I believe is one of their units. At the moment, I don't believe there's any available for them at all. And I know that apparently there's no one on the waiting list, but I am concerned about what we're offering our independent aged care people in town. And I feel that they're very important community members, and so we do need to be considering them as well. So I realise in this case, apparently there is nobody on the waiting list, and we're going to put a Shire employee in because there is a demand for a Shire employee. But I'm very concerned about any aged person that might require that accommodation in the future.
Did we want to, those units themselves, we haven't been able to, we can't, there's nothing on record that determines that they're specifically for aged care.
In comparison to the units at 28 Main Street, 28 I think is, so when we constructed those units, we got grant funding that requires, has a legal obligation on us to comply with certain eligibility criteria.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a legal requirement for us to do that.
Mm-hmm.
There is no, it is my understanding, there's no legal requirement about any of our aged persons,
mm-hmm,
or seniors housing. Legal requirement. There, and I take Councillor Harvard's point that there is a
moral obligation.
Moral, yeah. You know, that's what the housing was identified for when it was built. It's now come into our ownership. So yeah, that's what I mean by that. There's no legal requirement.
Mm. All right. We'll
probably could I just say that this whole issue reflects the shortage of residential accommodation in Brookton, full stop. Whether that's for key worker housing, whether that's for seniors, whether it's for grow housing, because we've had discussions in the last 6 months with the school about accommodating some of their staff. It is an issue, and perhaps not just only in Brookton. Right across the wheat belt, right across WA, and we're dealing with it as best we can. We have a real council will deal specifically with the issue in relation to its workforce and providing residential accommodation. We need to revisit that. We're in the process of doing that now, and there'll be more in the coming months for council to consider. But I would suggest that there's probably a requirement for council to invest more in housing, whether that's seniors housing or employees housing, to take people out of the seniors housing, mm-hmm. our people out of the seniors housing. Given that this decision will probably also will also cause Baptist Care some issues, given their requirement. At the moment, we're renting those units for $350 a week, which is probably at the lower end of the residential rental market at the minute. That's probably going to cause them some issues in providing staff accommodation. But, yeah, and again, discussing the need for the Shire, we have attracted a high-quality employee who needs housing, has strong links to community who may well provide us with benefit over a number of years. But if we haven't got accommodation, we may well lose that person.
Understood. Okay. Thank you, Gary. Yeah. Thank you. All right, we'll move to a vote on the officer's recommendation. All those in favour? Unanimous, all carried. 7-0. A corporate services report, list of payments for October 25. We have an officer's recommendation. Can I have a mover and a seconder, please? A mover, Councillor Crouch, and seconder, Councillor McCabe. Any questions in relation to Councillor McCabe, please?
Just on the second page of list of payments, the first line, there's a $320 charge for meals and accommodation for assessment because they're CARPA account. I'm just wondering, is there more than one person for providing meals and accommodation for that?
No, so it was overnight and it was at, because it was a Shire vehicle that they had issued. Was it just one night in accommodation? Yeah.
One night accommodation in Narrogin?
In Narrogin.
In Narrogin, yeah. And it was emergency, like, say, it wasn't pre-booked, so we could only get one room. They had about, there was one room in the whole of Narrogin for that night.
Honeymoon suite.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was only that one room that I could put him in.
Two down from there, there's one on the Shire website, refresh phase one. Just a question around that. My understanding of the budget we set, the Shire website was a, if we get the funds and it's working well with the budget and it's on track, then it's we're going to get to it. So is this a good indication that we are on that track, or has this been just pushed forward a little bit on the timeline?
No, so as part of the budget preparation, so we have the project list that we went through, and so council adopted a list with the highest priority, and we just worked down that. So when we were going through the budget process, we kept going down that list until we got, you know,
and
like,
I remember
until
we bumped that one up a few.
So that comes from that.
The budget is going well enough on track that we've still got enough of a surplus to attack those.
So the budget was adopted with what we could get in from that project list. So what happens now, there's items that didn't get in the budget, so further down the list. And what happens is that when we do our budget review, which we're required to do by the end of February, we'll revisit that list. So things that missed out on the original budget may well get in that budget review if we have savings, but if not, it just remains the same. Yep.
Any further questions in relation to those payments? No? Alrighty, all those in favour? No, that's certainly okay. Thank you. Corporate. Since the payments.
$14.11.2502.
Sorry, The statement of financial activity for the period ended 31st of October. We have as our officer's recommendation for that. Do I have a mover and a seconder? Please, mover, Councillor Delanger, and seconded, Councillor Copping.
Excuse me, Councillor Watson, can I just...
Absolutely, please.
So I'll just give a little bit of a report on the financials. So currently we're tracking with a $3.1 million surplus at the 31st of October. And it's really just due to being, we're month 4 out of 12. So our capital projects for this financial year running largely unstarted. We've only commenced 13.6% at the end of October, so that has a huge impact, and we have raised our rates, which is a little bit over $3 million in July. So our operating revenue exceeded budget by $86,000. The main variances for those were our fees and charges, with an increase in the CRC operating grant. That's really just due to the budget profiling, so we've received it early. And we've also had quite a large increase in our private works for this financial year. Our interest revenue, so the interest exceeded our budget to date. We budget quite conservatively on our interest rate for our deposits. And that obviously has exceeded from, we've got some funds that we have in our WA Treasury, which is quite a good interest rate. So that's both for our muni and our reserve funds. And in our other revenue, we've had a decrease in revenue, and it's really just due to a timing for our community emergency services manager, so the invoice for the quarter, and also our the Dr. Fawa funding, so the storm damage funding. So that's linked to the revenue about when we recognise that revenue and the grant funding on that. Our operating expenditure was under budget by $794,000, with the main variances in that area is our depreciation. So our depreciation for the year hasn't been run, and it's just good practice to leave it until after your prior year financials are signed off, because if they require any adjustments, it's quite difficult to correct in our accounting system. So we leave that until we get our sign-off of our financials. The insurance expense, so we've paid our second instalment, and again, that is budget profiling. So it's sometimes difficult to get the profiling right, because it's we have to budget sometimes over 12 months, but we've had to pay it in October, so that gets a little bit tricky there. And then the other expenditure, there's the variance of the rate write-off from our rate exemptions that have come through to council. We're still seeing on our statement of financial activity on page 32 in the budget amendment column of that deficit of $322,000 for the railway station. So that come to the August meeting in regards to the tender, which was a bit over the $2 million, and we had budgeted $1.7 million, and so we are still investigating, exploring other options for some a funding before we do the actual budget amendment there. The reserve transfer, sorry. Our rates, we've collected 73.8% to date, compared to 74.2% from the same period last year.
Last year was 93.8%.
That's not actually last year. So that is a... And our borrowings, and we still have unspent borrowings of $61,500, which relates to the relining of the sewerage network. So we will working towards expanding that this financial year. But I'm happy to take any questions if anyone has anything else they would like to know.
You mentioned the outstanding rates. Does the outstanding rates also include those people who are on paying by instalments?
Yes, it does. So it includes all outstanding. So yeah, it does. So anyone in interest, anyone on instalments, or it includes all of that.
Yep. Is there more rate payers that have moved to instalments this year compared to last year?
It's fairly similar. Yeah, so similar amounts. Yeah.
Thank you,
Dan.
Any further questions? No. Question, share those. All right, move forward. All those in favour? Carried? Yep. Carried, 7-0. 14.11.25.03, rates exemption application from CWA. We have an officer's recommendation. Can I have a mover, please? Councillor Crouch and seconded Councillor Delaney. Any questions? No? Beautiful. All those in favour? Carried, 7-0. 14.11.25.04, sale of property outstanding rate, 67 Whittle Street. We have an officer's recommendation. Can I have a mover, please? Councillor McCabe and a seconder. Councillor Crouch, thank you. Any questions in relation to this item or any comment?
Dan, if somebody was to, if the family who of the now deceased owner, if they were to come forward and there was to be some legal settlement of the will, mm-hmm. and they were to make payment, does that make this process go away?
It does. So any payment of the outstanding rates of the 3 years, that there would be that the process would cease and we wouldn't go any further.
It was the same if they just decided to pay it and just cancel it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Dan, I'm right in thinking that in the past we've had a number of conversations with that with the Mr. Kim's family, and they have made some payments, but in our most recent discussions, they're saying they don't want to.
Yeah, so they had, there was three children that they'd done skip traces on and found they had three children. None of the children were in Mr. Kim's will, the property owner's will. The daughter did come forward and pay some rates, but then talks broke down with her and that she no longer wanted to had any interest in the property. So hence the other children didn't. They indicated that early on, but the daughter didn't. And so now, we're at this stage, to be able to recover the rates.
From memory of different items that have come to council on this before, is there still a number of more steps that we've got to go through, or is this the final step of the
option? So there will be steps that we will go through, but the council have to endorse the ability for us to be able to go further. Yep. So,
But this endorsement basically covers all scenarios after that, doesn't it?
Yeah, so we will go to public auction. If it doesn't sell at public auction, then there's the right to be able to private sell it, and so then it just keeps,
And if it doesn't sell or anything, then it's just cancelled?
No, we can come back to the Shire of Brookton, so we can request that it be put in the Shire of Brookton's name if it doesn't sell on either of those occasions.
Is there a minimum reserve of what the overdue rates are set on the property auction?
That there will be. That they'll set a reserve definitely on the property. It'll be dependent if there's other outstanding as well, particularly from utilities or any other. So that all will be searched as part of the sale. There'll be steps and processes we need to go through.
Other questions? Thanks, guys. All those in favour? Carried, 7-0. Thanks, Jenny. Community chest application, 14.11.25.05 for the Brookton RSL. We do have an officer's recommendation. Can I have a mover, please? Councillor Crouch and seconded Councillor Copping. Any queries in relation to this, guys? Any questions, please, Councillor McKay?
Just a question. I should have read the policies for any community chest. Is it outside of that window where they can go for it again?
In the same year?
No, it wasn't in the same year. And as long as they... this community chest fund, so the maximum $1,000 is only for one time in the financial year. Mm-hmm. others, they can actually apply multiple times as long as they've acquitted the previous application. So there's no requirement for them to, yeah.
Wait 12 months,
yeah.
Okay, thanks, Councillor McCabe. Any questions in relation to this? No? Thank you. Will all those in favour? Carried 7-0. 15.11.25, adoption of ordinary council meeting dates for 2026.
Just before we perhaps get moving, just to advise council, this is the opportunity now to change. If you want to make some changes to our days and dates and times, this is your opportunity. So if there is, for some years, we've had Thursdays at 6 o'clock. If council think that an alternative day or time is better, now's the time.
Not a problem. All right. No comments, no questions, no thoughts. Everyone's happy with that. We have an officer's recommendation. Can I have a mover, please? Councillor Cotting, and a second, and seconded by Councillor Belanger. Everyone's happy with those dates?
Yep.
Lovely. All those in favour? 11.25.02, appointment of members to council committees and advisory groups. This was discussed at the CDF.
So, based on that informal discussion, I've filled in filled in the officer's recommendation. Happy, it's certainly available for council to change that.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody...
Is there any more on the road group? Any more on the road group?
The NIW?
Number 10.
So we will have one delegate to the we're one delegate to the Hothamdale subgroup, and from the Hothamdale subgroup, they will elect two delegates to the Wheatbelt Regional Road Group. So it's open to have another proxy. I'm happy.
Would you like to get involved with the Roadwise one?
Yep.
Right. If you want to take that one on,
Sounds good.
Yep. Can we change the office recommendation?
Just clarification on what the proxy side of it is.
So proxy is if we have a meeting when the delegate can't attend, I will go to the proxy first. So for that number 10, if Councillor McCabe is unable to attend any of our meetings, I'll go to Councillor Copping and ask her if she's available to attend. And if not, I'll then go to the Manager of Infrastructure and Works.
Yeah.
So I have left, on several of these committees, I have staff appointed as proxy delegates, mm-hmm. just so that there's always the opportunity to have the Shire of Brookton represented, my preference is always to have a councillor, but if no one's available, we need to be represented, so that's for a staff member. If Councillor Crouch, if you wanted to be a proxy delegate for the roads as well, for number 10, just looking at Councillor Copping, or I'm happy to add in another proxy delegate as well, if you wanted to have two.
If you want to do it, that's fine. I've got a council, so...
Please. So we can update the officer's recommendation.
Yep, so you're updating yours as we go?
That's what I'm thinking. Am I allowed to do that on this?
Okay. Absolutely.
So we've got...
You're not updating the officer's recommendation, you're updating the... Yep.
The council resolution.
Yes.
Yep. Okay, so number 10.
Number 10,
yep.
We'll change.
Yep, so remove them. Okay.
With Councillor Crouch. Yep.
And number
13.
And number 13, adding as proxy. Yep. Thank you.
Okay. Is everybody happy with all the other committees?
Yep.
Yep. So that's been updated. Thank you, Jenny. Yep.
Did I move in second?
No, not yet.
Oh, not yet.
Yeah. Alrighty. The updated officer's recommendation. Can I have a mover? Councillor Crouch, seconded Councillor McCabe. All those in favour? It's carried 7-0. Thank you. 6-11-25, elected members' motions. Previous notice has been given. We haven't received anything.
So that's the spot in the meeting where if a councillor wants to raise something, happy to include it in the agenda and have council decide it.
Mm-hmm. New business of an urgent nature, we have not received
anything.
Confidential reports, nothing at this time. With that being said, the next ordinary council meeting will be held on the 18th of December and at 6 p.m. And I declare the meeting closed at 6:45. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, could I just say something, please?
Sure.
I'd just like to, I was remiss when I had my few words. I'd just like to thank the staff that have been present during my time on that committee and appreciate the fact that some of those things were a little bit easy and it made it easier to work through it with them. So I thank them very much.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you.